And welcome back to the Friday Special Blend here on CKCU 93.1 FM. The time now is 8:39, and James Robinson and Fawn Ellen have joined me bright and early this morning to talk about Comic Book Chaos, which is has just opened this past Monday, I think, at Parkdale Gallery. Maybe, James, a question to start off with you. Can you tell us a little bit about Comic Book Chaos in the beginning and what it's all about?
Well, I wanted to have something that doesn't get to be seen very often in Ottawa. A lot of the works I have in there, I don't want to use the word alternative art, but Ottawa seems to need a tag when it comes to a lot of the stuff I have in the gallery. Now, the Comic Book Chaos, we have some very traditional comic book things in there, you know, paintings of Batman and your Spider-Mans and whatnot, but a lot of the other stuff, it's very much in a cartoonish comic vein, but very much more alternative, as opposed to your Batmans and your Supermans, which, who everybody knows. And it's an opportunity for people in Ottawa to come down and see the sort of talent we have here, Mr. Fawn Ellen being one of them, who, and I don't want to say unfortunately, lives in Ottawa, but if he lived in Montreal, for instance, he'd be getting a lot more exposure for the talent he has than he's getting here. And that's one of the reasons we even started the gallery, for individuals such as himself to get out what they do, let the people see that it's wonderful work and it deserves to be seen.
There's a lot of fabulous pieces there, because you yourself are a working artist as well, if I understand correctly.
My whole studio has been moved out of the gallery, yes.
Okay. What's your own discipline, James? What kinds of, how would you describe your own work?
I'm basically a portrait artist. I started off in school in Montreal learning that, and spent many a year doing portraits of the old-time Montreal hockey players.
Oh,
but
fun.
I've also done a lot of, again, I'll use the word alternative art, where it's still life I was never attracted to. You know, a bowl of apples was never that appealing to
me.
Not
quite your scene.
You know, a bowl of Barbie heads, I thought, now that's cool. I really like that. And that's the sort of thing we sort of aim for, especially on the backstage in the gallery. That's always been for just the absolute weird. And, like, a lot of the stuff I do right now is commission work. People come in with photographs of either family or something, or they find a nice picture in a magazine or a reproduction of something. You know, if you don't have $20 million for Picasso, I'll do one for half the price.
Those are good days. And, Mr. Fawn Ellen, what's your story?
Well, I've been doing graphic novels for some time, but not. I'm fairly new to it as an art form. I actually started drawing really, really late. I came to drawing at, like, 26. I wasn't one of these kids who had a crayon in his hand and was drawing, like, ever since they could toddle. And it's been a bit of an interesting ride, and I'm just finishing up my first book.
The Road to God Knows.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Why graphic novels? Why? What do you think drew you to them as opposed to other types of drawing?
I've always loved comics, and I really believe strongly that the medium of comics has a lot to say. And it's different than film. It's different than prose writing, like literature. And there's, when they work really well, there's something about the combination of words and pictures and the way the pictures form a sequential story that can resonate with a reader differently than a lot of other art forms. And I just love it. I get jazzed up by it.
Yeah, I find that some places, I mean, we certainly think of the Japanese with manga, but that graphic novels here don't always receive the attention. I think this is also where you were going, James, that maybe they should, and or that they're treated somehow superficially.
I think part of the problem is that there's been a major, this is sort of my old saw that I tend to talk about, is that there's a really big difference between the medium and the genre, and people in North America have traditionally confused that. The medium is comics. The predominant genre is superheroes. And superheroes, there's nothing wrong with that. They can be a lot of fun, but that would be like saying that, you know, all film have to be action films, or, you know, all novels have to be mysteries or something like that. And it's only been in the last 20 years, maybe even 15 years, that that's starting, the medium is starting to mature, and we're seeing more diversity in it. And, you know, graphic novels are starting to be carried in bookstores, and, you know, art galleries like Parkdale are starting to
I can name six or eight movies that have come out lately, which are done directly from the graphic novels. Frank Miller's Sin mm-hmm. City, one of the coolest movies I've ever mm-hmm. seen. And that's been a graphic novel for, it's been a series for years upon years. And I'm thinking Hollywood is seeing that, you can only have one more action hero. I mean, let's get some of the anti-heroes in there because they're just as cool, but they're full of flaws like we all have.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they can't stop bullets, and, and it works well, and it's working even better for them.
Yeah.
And it's time, right, to draw out and to build on our understanding of exactly.
It is, yeah. Listen, every, not generation, but there's always a period in time where the art suddenly makes a change. Mm-hmm. And this is the new art. The alternative stuff, the underground art, the outsider art, this is going to be the next big thing because it hasn't had its opportunity, but it's getting out there more and more.
Yeah. Some people are calling it the new rock and roll.
Hey, those are good days. Now, The Road to God Knows, it's quite a serious story.
Yeah, it's heavy. I mean, it's a story about a girl dealing with her mom's schizophrenia. So there's, it's dealing with mental illness in hopefully a compassionate way. The subject matter is fairly serious, but there's humor in there as well. Mm-hmm. And what I really tried cognizantly not to do was have it all, try to wrap up mental illness in a way that would give the reader, a happy ending. And the story doesn't end miserably or anything like that, but it ends, if I've done my job right, with the characters, hopefully when you close the book, that the characters have spoken to you and you kind of wonder what happens next.
Okay. I'm kind of curious, I've got a couple of questions for you about how one goes about writing a graphic novel. And I just, what comes first? Do you find images or words or how does that happen?
I'm a little different than some people. I wrote the script first, and that was all kind of locked down how I wanted, the pacing to be. And it was like a script like you would think of, a playwright script or a film script. And that came back a couple of years ago, actually. And, then some of the visuals that spoke to me, sometimes when you're writing a script, the visuals come across really strongly. Other things you're not so clear about, and then you start drawing it. That's not the only way to do comics, though. Some people will do a combination of words and pictures. Some people will actually almost write their script visually. I really, for me personally, I like locking it down in a script form first, and then I kind of use the script as my Bible and start drawing.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a sense of how the images are going to look? Or do you have a sense of your visuals as you're writing the script, or does that also come after?
In a way, they do. I do character design, I do some location design, so it's kind of like approaching it like a film from that point of view. I have an idea of what the characters are going to look like, and I establish that first before I start putting anything down for the actual story. But, part of the fun of it is, and part of the challenge, too, is trying to see where it's going to go. So, I'll have an idea of pacing, but then I'll draw something, and if I like it, great. If I don't like it, I'll go back and redraw. I just actually finished a last round of edits on the book and did some redrawing, to make things a bit stronger. So, it's alive, and it's not going to really, I don't think it's actually going to ever be finished until it's actually out there in a concrete print form. It's being serialized online right now at Girl-O-Matic, mm-hmm. but it's, even that might have some more edits and stuff like that before I'm done.
That's interesting what you're saying there about when it's serialized online, because it gives you that flexibility. I'm often curious with writers or with artists, how do they know when they've got something that's done, that they're satisfied with it? And it sounds like you're leaving that as an iterative loop there.
I think the only way is really when you walk away from it and you think you've done the best you can. And I do think I've done the best I can, but you'll tend to look back at it, and because the project, the entire story has been so long in gestation, I'm hopefully a better artist. I'm hopefully a more nuanced artist than I was when I started. So, one of the things you do, and particularly I think with a graphic novel you can see it, is you sit back at the end of the day and you kind of go, man, the first couple of pages don't really look quite the same as the last couple of pages. There's a visual disconnect now, and I got to go fix that. So, you want it to kind of blend seamlessly, and that was one of the big edits actually a few months ago, was just trying to make the first 40 pages kind of look like the last 40 pages.
I guess that would be a challenge.
Yeah.
And James, what's your story? How do you tend to approach your work?
When I start a painting, anyway, I see it completely finished in my head. Just looking at the canvas, I know how it's going to come out eventually. It's just a matter of time until I get to that point. I go back and forth with an airbrush and dry brushes until I'm happy with the result. But I've had to teach myself when it was finished, because everything I've ever painted, I look at it today, and there are different things I would change. And if I did it again today, a little, this should be bigger, that should be, that is definitely the wrong color. But I'm the only one that knows that. You know, if I put that out to the public, that's all they're ever going to see is what I consider to be a flaw. But it took quite a while, actually, where at some point I just stop and say, you know what, that's done. Name goes on, and when the name goes on, that's it.
You're not going back.
It goes out the door, yeah. Well, for personal portraits, there's always a back and forth because, you know, it has to look like the person. I mean, you can take a famous person.
And they
person.
Have to think it does, which exactly. is probably its own separate challenge.
And that's why I work from professional photographs only. I've had people bring in photographs, which are nice photographs, and I do the painting. It looks just like the photograph. Unfortunately, the photograph looks nothing like the person in reality.
Ow, those happen.
It does happen, yeah.
Man, oh man. Now, in Comic Book Chaos, you've got a number of different artists that are involving. Can you give us a sense of who's there? Who's part of this?
Oh, we got a good 6 and 8 people involved. Matthew Doddridge is one with these crazy giant robots destroying cities. Those are my favorites. And the Lonely Little Spaceman. Those
look like
very
fun.
Cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. Stephen Clark, who's involved in the show, he's more on the, I'd have to say, chaos side. He paints from things he dreams about. And they're so amazingly colorful and humorous. And he has wonderful little stories with them, which aren't always that humorous, but they're still very, very cool. Vaughn Allen, of course, we have several of his pieces, a couple of the pages from the book he's just completed. Sean Hyatt, I've been working with him since we opened the gallery, a little over a year now, with his 50s kind of political pop things, and he's a very cartoonish, very colorful as well, and a wonderful sense of humor. Ron Sutton, who's been illustrating Elvira, I believe, 9 years now.
I think so.
Although
yeah.
I think they just finished the run on that book because, I guess her time has come and gone. I'm not sure. But I know he'll be continuing. He's hopefully going to start doing some of his own, I would like to see very much.
Wow.
And myself, I've got a couple of traditional ones, the Batman. But I did the paintings from the cartoons that are out today, which, honestly, I'm not a real fan of. I find them a little too slick and a little too fast, but that's the kids today. I mean, they got video games where, I mean, I quite literally grew up with Pac-Man and stuff. And
I'm familiar with the challenge. So what about down the road? Maybe, Von Allen, I'll start with you. If given the option, are there things that, if you were able to tackle, that you would do so?
Yeah, actually, I really have some plans for the second graphic novel, if things go well. And
yay.
I want it to be kind of an all-ages story. So I'm still sort of working stuff out, but I'm hoping to have maybe a script by early spring and then could start breaking the story down a little bit after that. We'll see.
Fabulous. And what about you, James? What's in the cards?
That's a secret. It's top secret, man.
Ooh, okay.
Well, we got some cool things happening. I would very much like to have an anti-Valentine's Day show. Because, honestly,
I think you'd probably have good attendance.
Listen, honestly, nobody likes that day. I don't care how much in love you are, you still hate it. Because you got to spend all kinds of money on stuff. And if you don't have somebody that you... I mean, I love my wife, don't get me wrong. But if you're not with somebody, it's just a miserable day. And I think one of the best things we have coming up in the gallery is for an entire week leading up to St. Patrick's Day, we're having an Irish Arts Festival.
Fine.
Now, this is baby steps right now, but I'm working with Kevin Dooley, who's just finished his second novel, actually. He's a bit of a somebody in the Irish community around Ottawa. And he's hooked me up with a bunch of other people, writers and dancers, musicians and poets and other artists as well. And, again, these are just baby steps, but we're trying to work something out with the Irish Embassy to have art from Ireland come here for the week, or even longer, because it's, you know, hardly just up the street, and then have some of my artists be sent to Ireland, should the Canadian government wish to pay for it, because I'm just a little gallery in Hindenburg. I don't have that kind of money. Not yet, anyway. But people like Vaughn in there, hey, we're going to go better.
Lots of possibilities. Well, that sounds amazing. I'll hope that we've got the opportunity to talk further about that as it draws closer. Now, if people were looking for further information about your work and about the gallery, where might we best direct them?
For me, you could go to vonallen.com, so vonallan.com, and there's quite a bit. And again, I'm just starting to serialize the story online at a really cool collective of webcomics in the States called Girl-O-Matic. And they're all like non-misogynist comics of all genres, and there's some amazing talent involved there, and you can read my stuff and other people's stuff.
Fabulous. It should be. And James, what about you? If people were looking for further information about
ParkdaleGallery.com.
Oh, sweet.
It's got everything you need there.
All one word. That we can do. Well, listen, good luck with the rest of the exhibition and with both of your own plans. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again at some point very, very soon.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay. Take good care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Bye. You're listening to the Friday Special Blend here on CKCU 93.1 FM. And coming up...